This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, August 31st. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Ever tried to fix a broken laptop, cell phone, or other personal device? If so, you know it can be hard to find the right place to take it, and expensive to pay for the repairs. But new measures being debated in Washington and state houses around the country could give people more choice over where they get their gadgets fixed. It's called Right to Repair. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, has been looking into how it works, with some help from a pair of broken Wall Street Journal laptops. She'll break it all down for us after these headlines. Jury selection begins today in the criminal case against Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes. Prosecutors say she and former Theranos president Ramesh Sunny-Balwani, whose trial is set for early next year, misled investors and patients about the capabilities of the firm's blood testing technology. Both have pleaded not guilty. Holmes, who dropped out of Stanford at 19 to start Theranos, was able to convince many high-profile Silicon Valley investors to back her idea. At one point, the company had a $9 billion valuation, and Holmes had a reputation as one of the most successful female startup founders. WSJ legal reporter Sarah Randazzo will be covering the trial, starting with the issue of seating a jury in such a high-profile case.
So Elizabeth Holmes' side has been really concerned about finding jurors who haven't had excessive media exposure about the case. So far, of the couple hundred jurors that they've sent really detailed questionnaires out to, about half, they said, or less, have read a lot about the case. So we're looking at potentially 100 people in this pool that don't really know about Theranos. And it's interesting, for as much exposure as it's gotten, I think some people have been really obsessed with the case and the story and followed it closely. A lot of people I talk to, friends of mine or even other journalists or colleagues elsewhere, don't know anything about Theranos. So I do think even in Silicon Valley, they'll find a mix of people who've heard of it and say that they won't come in with preconceived notions, and others who've never heard of Theranos and will be coming at the story totally fresh.
China issued new rules limiting the amount of time children under 18 can play video games. The country's hundreds of millions of young gamers will no longer be able to play online games during the school week, and they'll be allowed just 1 hour a day on Fridays, weekends, and public holidays. The new measures, which take effect Wednesday, aim to curb what authorities describe as youth video game addiction, which they blame for a host of societal ills, including distracting young people from school and family responsibilities. And an essential component for making electronic devices, including smartphones, gaming consoles, and cars, is facing a shortage as a result of the pandemic. Multi-layer ceramic capacitors, or MLCCs, are tiny bits of ceramic that are used to control the flow of electricity inside our devices, and they're mostly built in Asia. But a surge of COVID-19 cases in the region has caused two major manufacturers to at least partly suspend their operations. At the moment, the situation isn't as dire as the global chip shortage, but companies are watching it closely because any shortage of MLCCs could have major repercussions for electronics makers. All right, coming up, repairing your broken gadgets can be expensive. Could opening the market to independent repair shops reduce those costs? We'll discuss after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Have you ever broken one of your devices? Maybe dropped your cell phone and smashed the screen? Or spilled a glass of water across your laptop and watched as the machine became no more than a paperweight? The options for repairing your devices in these kinds of situations can be pretty limited. Take it back to the company you bought it from and pay them to fix it, or bring it to an authorized repair service. Sometimes the cost of those repairs can be so high it's often worth just buying a whole new device. But various proposed right to repair laws and even an executive order could address that by making it easier for small, independent repair shops to fix our devices, often at a lower cost. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, has been looking into this issue and comparing some of the costs, and she joins us now to talk about it. Hi, Joanna.
Hey, Zoe.
So there's this Fair Repair Act in Congress, but it isn't the only bit of momentum that the right to repair movement is having at the moment.
No, definitely not. There are a lot of pieces of this, both at the national and state level. But yes, the Fair Repair Act was introduced in Congress in June. There have been over 20 bills introduced at state levels, including states like New York and Massachusetts. Then in July, President Biden issued an executive order asking the FTC to look into this. And the thing is that all these efforts are different, but they ask for something similar. And that's really that anyone, not just the big corporation that made your device, be able to access the information, the manuals, the parts, and the tools to make a repair.
So let's talk a little bit about the situation now. You did a bit of an experiment. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so in reading over these bills and all of this sort of legalese, I was pretty confused about what this actually meant. So I decided I wanted to go out there, go to the repair shops, and see how this may or may not help them. I went to my IT department and asked them for just a selection of broken MacBooks. They gave me two, which happened to be damaged by water. Water and laptops do not get along. So I took these to various repair stores. My first stop was, of course, the Apple store, because that is what I think most people think. If something happens to your iPhone, something happens to your MacBook, your iPad, your iMac, you think, okay, I got to go to the Apple store. The Apple store, unsurprisingly, said this was going to cost quite a bit of money. Apple said it would be $999 to fix a 13-inch 2017 MacBook Pro. And then they said it would be $799 to fix a 2020 MacBook Air. I then took it to an authorized Apple service center, a place called Mike's Tech Shop in New York City. And that cost even more money because not only does the store send it out to Apple, so you would pay the same amount that you'd pay for Apple, but they charge a little bit more for the effort so the small store can make some money.
So you also took the laptops to two independent retail shops that aren't associated with Apple, right?
I did. I took these laptops pretty much everywhere for the last couple of weeks. I took them to two independent repair shops in New York, both quoted around $350 for the Pro, but said they couldn't do the Air, and we'll get into that in a minute. I decided to go, though, with one that was called Rossman Repair. The owner of that shop is Louis Rossman. He's an advocate for the right to repair, and he has a popular YouTube channel where he often speaks out against Apple policies and shows people how to do their own repairs. And again, the price was much lower here. He quoted $325 to fix the MacBook Pro, but he couldn't do the Air because he said he didn't have the parts or the information.
So how does he get the parts and information for fixing the MacBook Pro?
Well, he definitely doesn't get anything through Apple. He made that really clear. He gets the parts in one of two ways, either from taking them from older systems. So let's say an old system gets brought in. It's not going to be repairable, but there are still some parts in there that he can use. He takes those parts, put them sort of in a recycling bin, and they pull from there. Or sometimes they can buy those parts from other third parties. But Apple, he says, restricts them from buying the parts from them. And sometimes Apple will restrict them from buying from specific chip makers. The information that he needs is similar. He uses things called schematics and board views. These are basically maps of what's in the system so he can figure out what is what. And these are documents, in his case, that are made by Apple, though these kind of documents are made by any equipment or gadget manufacturer. Again, these are not given out by Apple. They are often leaked by people who work at the company to others and then placed on the internet. And Rossman and people in the independent repair community download them. I thought Mr. Rossman had a really interesting way of putting what he thinks he does.
It's odd to be a computer repairman and feel like the kid in high school that was selling weed out of the fourth stall of the lunch bathroom. It's odd.
So he was able to get the parts and the information that he needed to fix the Pro, but why couldn't he fix the Air?
Because that information isn't yet available to him. He basically told me that in the first couple of years after a system is released, that information or those parts aren't readily available. So you sort of have to wait. It's a waiting game. And because that MacBook Air was made in 2020 and that MacBook Pro was in 2017, he didn't yet have the parts or information for the Air.
And what's Apple's take on all of this?
Apple had some response to this. In terms of the price, The cost of this repair was more at an Apple store because Apple says they would replace the entire motherboard, that they don't believe in replacing specific chips on the motherboard, that that can be unreliable. And so they would replace the entire thing. An Apple spokesperson said to me, "We believe the safest and most reliable repair is one handled by a trained technician using Apple genuine parts. We continue to expand Apple's offerings to better meet our customers' needs." The Apple spokesman also pointed me to Apple's independent repair provider program, which is something fairly new for Apple. They work with independent repair shops, and they say that they provide access to Apple genuine parts, tools, training, service guides, diagnostics, and resources. But Mr. Rossman told me that the Apple program doesn't provide the schematics or board views and many of the specific parts that he uses to make repairs more affordable to consumers.
So it sounds like on the one hand, you have Apple saying, we want to have control over our products to ensure how they work and their safety. And on the other hand, you have independent retailers saying, you know, they should be allowed to offer more choices to customers.
Yeah, that really gets to the heart of this right to repair fight. You have tech companies and their lobbyists. I spoke to a couple of those groups for this story, really arguing that this comes down to consumer safety, that if there's an unreliable repair, the device can harm you. It's also, right, then a problem for the company because then you've got an Apple MacBook blowing up or something like that, right? And that's one of their big fears. They're also worried that the more information that's available about these devices or the more that the parts are out there, that there could be more opportunities for hackers to breach them. They also make the argument that your data could be in the hands of shady repair people. And they also just make the argument that, hey, this is our intellectual property and we don't want our documents and our parts out there. So that's really the argument from the tech companies and from the tech lobbyist side. And then you've got the argument from some lawmakers and the proponents of the right to repair legislation that this is just what consumers should have, right? We buy these devices. We should have the ability to fix them. We should have the ability to take them wherever we want to fix them and be able to fix them.
All right. That's our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. Thanks for joining us, Joanna.
Thanks so much.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. You can always find more tech stories on our website, WSJ.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.